Now let's continue on, brethren. Let's come to Psalm 47. Psalm 47, now this is talking about Christ. This is talking about his throne. And so let's begin right here in verse 1. My heart overflows with a godly manner. I will speak of my works to the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. Very interesting. Isn't that how we got the Gospels? Didn't they have ready writers? Remember the sermon that I gave on the transcribers of Jesus? All right. Verse 2, you are more excellent than the children of men. Grace is poured upon your lips. Therefore, God has blessed you forever. Now, this speaking of Christ, his first coming, his second coming, and what he's going to be eternally, all contained in this one psalm, okay? Verse 2, you are more excellent than the children of men. Grace is poured upon your lips, therefore God has blessed you forever. Gird your sword upon your thigh. That's what Christ is going to do when he returns. O mighty one, with your glory and your majesty, ride victoriously in your majesty in behalf of truth and meekness and righteousness. Now, that's quite a thing. That's how it's going to be during the millennium. Truth and righteousness and meekness. Amazing, isn't it? You know, the Word of God has so many things for us that it's quite something. Think about all those poor atheists that don't know anything to say. Well, it's full of lies. No, it's full of truth against all of your lies. That's what's in the Bible. Now let's come to verse 6. Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of justice is the scepter of your kingdom. You love righteousness and hated wickedness, or iniquity, as it says in Hebrews, the first chapter there. Now, isn't that something? This is a prophecy of Jesus, and in the book of Hebrews, chapter 1, he is called, O God. Now, here is a prophecy of him, and we know that he was God who came in the flesh. Now, we've already covered that, but you know, one of the things that people are trying to do today is to take away the fact that Jesus Christ was God manifested in the flesh. And there are also some people trying to say that the Holy Spirit was the Father of Jesus. Isn't that interesting? What comes around goes around, and all of these things, it's just like it says there in the book of Ecclesiastes, that which has been is that which shall be. And so we're faced with the same thing today. Now continuing on. Therefore God, your God, so that's God and God the Father, has anointed you with the oil of gladness above your fellows. And he's going to be king of all the earth, as we have already seen. Now come over here to Psalm 48, just across the bridge. Psalm 48 and verse 1. Great is the Lord, and highly to be praised in the city of our God, in his holy mountain. And isn't that what it talks about? The mountain of God shall be exalted above the mountains, and many nations shall flow to it. And they shall say, come, let us go up to the house of God, and let us learn of his ways and learn of his laws. For out of Zion shall go forth the law. And those nations which will not submit, at first when the millennium begins, will in time. God is going to make it happen, as we have seen. Okay. Verse 2, beautiful in its loftiness, the joy of all the earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. Now we know when Christ comes back, puts his foot on the Mount of Olives, everything geographically there is going to change. And so Mount Zion is actually going to be in a new location. And the great tabernacle that is going to be over Jerusalem is going to be awesome indeed. And then you read Revelation 7 and Revelation 14 about all of those who will be administrators right there in the headquarters of Jerusalem serving Christ. That's something. So think about that. Okay. The city of the great king, God is in her palace. God in her palace has shown himself to be a fortress. For lo, the kings assembled themselves together. They advanced together. Now, they're going to be all in awe concerning God and what he does and so forth and how it's going to be handled. Okay. Come down here to verse 9. No, verse 8. As we have heard, so have we seen in the city of the Lord of hosts. In the city of our God, God will establish it forever, Selah. And that means stop and think on this. So stop and think. Ask yourself this question. Though for a time being, it appears that people can sin and prosper and get away with things, right? But in the final analysis, can anyone truly go against God? No. Nor can they, nor have they, nor will they ever succeed. So we need to think about that in relationship to our lives, in relationship to how we are preparing to rule in the kingdom of God. Verse 9, we have thought of your loving kindness, O God, in the midst of your temple. As is your name, O God, so is your praise to the ends of the earth. Your right hand is full of righteousness. Let Mount Zion rejoice. Let the daughters of Judah shout for joy because of your judgments. Walk around Zion. Go all around her. Count her towers. Now, we don't know what New Jerusalem is going to look like. We don't know how fantastic that is going to be. But here tells us, go look. Count her ramparts. Go through her palaces. Won't that be nice? We come into Jerusalem. I don't know. Are we going to go there for seminars and lectures? Could be. We're going to constantly learn, aren't we? Yes, we are. So we go up to Jerusalem from time to time, meet Christ, talk to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Moses, the 12 apostles. They'll be sitting on 12 thrones. That'll be something, huh? So think about that. Go through her palaces so that you may tell it to the coming generation. Because, see, we have to teach the people. We have to tell them of God. And we are going to be helping the parents really teach and train their children. Now, what I want you to do is this. Think about this for just a minute, okay? Right after we finish verse 14. For this God is our God forever and ever. He will guide us even unto death. That is, guide us so that we're resurrected and become like him. Okay, think about this. What is going to be needed to run a city? And think about how it's not going to be like the cities of this world all crowded together. How would you lay it out? Think about this. How would you administer it? Think about this. We're also going to have people working with us and for us. So think about how that would be. It's going to be something. Okay? All right? Psalm 48. All right. Now let's come here to Psalm 85. And then we will look at the mainstay of what we're going to be teaching. But here's what's going to happen during the millennium. Psalm 85, verse 10. Mercy and truth have met together. Always going to be mercy and truth. And we're going to be able to help those who sin, because they will sin, help them to repentance, help them really learn and understand what they need to do. Mercy and truth have met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Now think about this. as the foundation of what is going to be taught throughout all the earth, in every city, in every village, in every nation. Okay? Truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. Yea, the Lord shall give that which is good, and our land shall yield its increase. Righteousness shall go before him, and shall set us in the way of his steps. Okay, that last one tells us we're going to continually be learning from God. All right. Now, what is going to be the basis of everything that we're going to teach the people? What is the greatest thing? We are told in 1 Corinthians 13, there is faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. Now let's come to Matthew 22. Matthew 22, because this is what we need to be doing so that we can attain to the kingdom of God. And this is what we are going to be teaching the people to do. Because nothing can be done in a right way without the love of God. Yes, you know, we heard this summer Donald Trump relating to us all how he's the law and order candidate. Well, we'll see if that's going to happen. But here, there's always the argument. And this doctor of the law came up, and he asked Christ, Master, which commandment, verse 36, Matthew 22, is the great commandment in the law, or which one is the greatest? And Jesus said to him, now this is very important, because they rejected the commandments of God. How did they do it? With their own traditions. This is why we have changed the name of our website to truthofgod.org. And the truth of God is based upon the love of God. Now, we saw back there in Psalm 85 how all of these things mix together and what it's going to be like to be teaching the people those things. And it's all going to be based on this. Now, didn't God give this as a command to the children of Israel at Mount Sinai? Yes, he did. And again, just before they went into the promised land, yes, he did. So here it is, verse 37. And this is how we're going to attain to the kingdom of God. See, mercy and truth, love and righteousness, all together. So here it is. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart. Now, we're going to be able to teach and train people this way. We won't be able to know their hearts. The Bible talks about try the reins. Today, it's awfully hard to tell what is really in the mind of a person, what they're really, really thinking. Well, at that time, we won't be able to know. All your heart, that means everything about your emotions and your learning. With all your soul, now the soul is just merely the physical life that we have. Everything that you do in your physical life, you do for the love of God. And with all your mind, this is the key and most important thing, because there can be no conversion without the Spirit of God and loving God and having the laws and commandments of God written in their hearts and in their minds. Now, today, we have to learn that so that we can be able to teach people to do that. Now, let's just be honest. Too many churches of God have become rulerships and fiefdoms of a minister instead of the property of Christ. And ask the question, how much love of God is there? Can there be love of God when we're all fighting? No, there can't. Yes, it's true we need to fight for truth. Yes, it's true we need to stand for righteousness. But isn't it a shame that the churches of God who are to be preaching and teaching this and will be teaching this during the millennium are themselves today not learning this lesson. And this is the greatest, see? Think about that. Jesus said, this is the first. The Greek there is protos, primary, most important, and greatest commandment. Now, the second one, we're going to enforce. There isn't going to be any war during the millennium, except at the end, and we'll cover that on day 7. And the second one is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Now, notice verse 40. This verse is perhaps the second most important verse in the Bible. The first most important are verses 37 and 38 and 39. Here is the next one. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Everything that God does is based upon his love, even destroying the wicked, because you cannot have eternal life without love and law and service and truth, all of these things together. That's what's so important concerning it. Now, let's come to Mark, the 12th chapter. Let's see the parallel account, because they're just a little bit more added here to it. All right. Verse 28, Mark 12, verse 28. And one of the scribes who had come up to him after hearing them reasoning and perceiving that he answered them well, he asked him, which is the first commandment of all? This is what we need to live by today, and this is what we need to teach the brethren, all of us who are teachers and ministers and elders, okay? Teach the brethren this. Let me just ask you a question. Do you think that it's remotely possible to enter into the kingdom of God unless you do this, unless you live this, unless you teach this? Think about it, okay? Then Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel. You just put your name there. What is the most important thing you need to learn and hear from God? Because this will give you the by far the most important thing that you need to enter into the kingdom of God, will it not? Yes, indeed. Hear, O Israel, our one God is the Lord, the Lord. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. This is the first. The second one is like this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. Now, at this point, talking of the Ten Commandments, that is true. But what is the greatest love of neighbor? Jesus said, you should love each other as I have loved you. And what did he say concerning that? By this, all men, that means all men and women, will know what? That you are my disciples. Now, yes, we're to know the truth of God. Yes, we're to know the other laws of God. Yes, we're to keep the Sabbath. And yes, we're to keep the holy days, because all of those are parts of the laws of God. Is that not true? Yes. But all of it has to be, because it's hung from these two commandments. This has to be the motivation behind everything that we do. So think on that. Now, the scribe answered him when he heard this. Right, Master, you have spoken according to the truth that God is one and that there is none other besides him, and to love him with all the heart, with all the understanding, with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself is more than all burnt offerings and sacrifices. Now, notice what Jesus said to him. Very interesting. So, I want you to use this as a guide. Think about this. Here's a scribe. He knew all the laws of God, and He was also sitting in Moses' seat to make judgments when people came to give them the judgment out of the Word of God, so he knew it. Okay? Question. How much do you know? Well, you may know quite a bit. You may understand a lot of the Bible. But remember this, whatever understanding we have comes from God. So here's this scribe. He had all this understanding. Now, here at this point, Jesus didn't mention about the traditions. But notice what Jesus said, verse 34. And Jesus, seeing that he answered with understanding, said to him, "Come on in, friend. It's a great deal. Enter into the kingdom of God." No, he said, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." He was getting close. He had the formulation of it. Now think about that in relationship to us. See, we are brought under the jurisdiction of the kingdom of God through baptism and receiving the Holy Spirit, and we are to grow in grace and knowledge. And everything that we do is based on these two commandments, plus the third one that I mentioned, of loving each other as Jesus loved us. So, that's quite an important thing to understand, isn't it? Yes. Now, let's come down here to verse 38, because he gave a warning. And he said to them in his teachings, right after answering the question, see, he also asked them the question, let's go back up here and see what Jesus said, verse 35. And while teaching in the temple, Jesus answered and said, "How can a scribe say that the Christ is the son of David? For David himself said by the Holy Spirit, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet.' Now then, if David himself called him Lord, how can he be his son?" And they have never understood that. Why? Because they didn't love God with all their heart, with all their mind, with all their soul, with all their being. That's why. And what is possible for God is impossible for man. So they couldn't answer it. And to this very day, there are those, even some who claim affiliation with the churches of God, who do not understand. All right, let's go ahead. Now, verse 38. And he said to them in his teachings, "Beware of the scribes who take pleasure in walking around in robes and in salutations in the marketplaces." Yes, Rabbi, oh, scribe, Pharisee, look at all of your phylacteries. My, you have such broad, what are these called? Lapels for your phylacteries. Look at how many good deeds you have. You know, just like these generals. They got all of these ribbons all affixed to their uniforms. And the more they have and the more stars they have, the more important they are. Well, God is not looking to the exterior. He's looking to the interior, see? So this is why he said, because they were not interested in truth and love and righteousness. They were interested in power and position and control. And in the chief seats in the synagogues and chief places at the feast, who devours the houses of widows and for a pretext make long prayers, these shall receive the greater condemnation. Quite a thing, isn't it? Yes, indeed. Now then, this is why we need to focus in on this as the foundational thing for what we are doing. Remember, we are in training to serve the people of the world when Christ returns. Any exaltation must come from God. But we are to learn, we are to grow in grace and knowledge, and we are to have our lives put together and look forward to the coming millennium. Okay, let's come back here to Psalm 85 and let's read this again because this is so important. Okay, let's see if we can take these verses and get a real focus on where we're going. Doesn't matter how young you are, how old you are. It doesn't matter if you have weakness of body or weakness of vision or even weakness of mind because of age. That's because you're progressing toward the resurrection. And the current body is wearing out, and you need the new one, which comes with the resurrection. So here is what we need to do in our lives. Verse 10, Psalm 85. Mercy and truth have met together. Always keep that. Mercy and truth. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. That's quite a very poetic saying, isn't it? Truth shall spring out of the earth, and we're going to be the ones who will make it spring out of the earth. And righteousness shall look down from heaven. Yea, the Lord shall give that which is good, and our land shall yield its increase, as we have seen how God is going to make the world during the millennium. Righteousness shall go before him and shall set us in the way of his steps. Walk in the footsteps of Christ. And this is why we are here. So tomorrow, we're going to look and begin to answer the question, what is one of the greatest difficulties of human nature, and how will that affect people in the millennium? For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.